The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, welcome back to the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Wasn't that a terrific hour? Boy, if you missed it, you'll have to catch it on the podcast. Julie Brown in here from Natural Resources Police, the Boating Safety Coordinator. She's just fantastic. And, you know, so I just, I don't know how we can top that, but we're going to try, Eric, aren't we?
Yeah, that's definitely a hard show to follow.
Exactly.
Julie did a great job with the boating safety information, and this is the time of year. Summer is ramping up right now.
It sure is.
It's really going to happen.
Something else that's really going to happen, and that's why you're here to tell us about the kickoff of the summer fishing. I mean, we just came through the trophy season, the Rockfish Trophy season, mid-April, mid-May. We're in the summer season for the Rockfish. How are we doing out there?
Well, the big story is that this post-spawn Rockfish bite right now is outstanding. I'm hearing guys, really reliable sources telling me that it's the best post-spawn rock fishing in about 10 years. A lot of the reports have been coming from the area from Chesapeake Beach down to the radar tower on the western shore. And then on the eastern shore around Poplar Island, which is always a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they're catching them north of Chesapeake Beach, up around Holland Point and Rose Haven along that western shore. And some fish are being found off the mouth of the West River in that area.
How big are these fish?
That's the really cool part. They're basically running from 20 to 30 inches.
Nice.
So a lot of solid keeper-sized fish, and a lot of big fish that are in that 34-inch range, 30 to 32-inch range.
Mm-hmm.
And now these fish are being caught on light tackle. They're being caught on jigs. The classic Bass Assassins and BKDs,
mm-hmm.
Bucktails, the old traditional bucktail with a curly grub, twister
wow.
tail.
Cool.
But also, I wanted to mention this new wave of jigs. They're using these lead heads with the plastic skirts. It kind of looks like the old traditional jig and pig.
Right, yeah.
The largemouth bass. It's like this spinnerbait skirt.
Yeah.
Or jig and pig skirts.
Yeah.
They're putting those on a lead head in like bright colors, white chartreuse.
Sure. White chartreuse,
right, of course.
I'm shocked.
Of course, the classic
right.
bright colors.
Yeah, the top 10 colors for rockfish. White
yeah.
chartreuse. White
right.
chartreuse.
And maybe lime
white
green.
Chartreuse.
Yeah.
Lime green.
Little
and then
pink. Some guys, yeah.
Yeah, well, you got it. The light color.
Right.
So the fish can see
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So they're rigging those with the traditional trailers like the Bass Assassins, BKDs, you know, Sluggos.
Well, let me ask this question then.
Okay.
There's
right.
two ways to put that skirt on. You can put that skirt on traditional, or you can turn it around backwards so it looks like a mini parachute.
Right.
What are you hearing it? Or don't you know?
You know,
it doesn't matter.
I
got to
be honest. I don't really
yeah.
know. I just know that they're hot items at the winter fishing shows right now.
Sure.
And I'm aware of the parachute action. The parachute is rigged backwards.
Yeah, exactly.
So the water pressure kind of pushes against it, and it pulsates like a bait, like a squid or a bait fish or whatnot.
But
so,
I mean, if you got some jigs laying around and you go out and get yourself a pack of bright colored spinnerbait skirts.
Right.
You got a ready to fish rockfish rig, get yourself a bag of twisters and you're good
right,
to go.
Or right.
some small shad or like
yep.
you said, the jerk baits are working too.
Right.
Yeah.
And in the low light hours, early morning and evenings, they are catching them on top water. You know, I grew up throwing these poppers like the creek chub poppers and all the old school lures,
Adam
poppers.
Yep.
You know, they still work, but I think now the Smackit is a real popular lure. You know, there's plenty of them out there on the market.
Popbar and
Popbar is the Rebel Popbar.
Not that old baits won't work. They
right.
still do those old classics.
Right, exactly. So the topwater bite is good, and these bigger fish are in the mix and are sometimes being caught on top water, like the 30, 32-inch fish.
That's nice.
But the good part is a lot of nice keeper-sized fish over 20 inches. Sometimes these fish are suspended or near the bottom. They're getting heavy marks on the depth finders and stopping on a school
mm-hmm.
and jigging on them. Sometimes they're pushing the bait to the surface, and it's a combination of silver sides and bay anchovies, the smaller bait right now. There may be some of the bigger menhaden in the mix, too.
So instead of the traditional ounce and a half bucktails and that type of thing, you take yourself a half-ounce bucktail and chuck it in out there, almost like breaking fish.
Exactly. Like breaking fish, like fall breaking fish.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In fact, we've heard some guys saying it with the weather being a little bit weird and overcast and cooler, it kind of feels like a fall bite.
I bet it does.
So, but the fishing's been excellent. I also wanted to mention for the upper bay folks, most of the action I'm hearing is from the lower bay, or the middle bay. But recently I am hearing some reports from Sandy Point Light on the western side on rockfish and Love Point. Has always been a good spot over the years. So there is some potential up that way.
Yep.
But if you don't find
mouth
fish
of the Chester.
Mouth of the Chester. There you go.
Yep.
Those are good upper bay spots. And then, of course, if you're down around the Cambridge area, the lower chop tank is always good, too.
Hearing anything on drum yet?
I've heard that this is an early kind of season where there are some rumors of a few possibly being caught or showing up in commercial pound nets, which is an indication that they're moving into the area.
Right.
It should be happening any day now. It's usually around Stone Rock or Sharp's Island Light, that area.
Yep.
And when it happens, it doesn't last very long.
Right. A couple weeks at the most.
A couple of weeks, and the fish are tightly concentrated in a small area on the bottom.
Hell of a waste of a soft crab. That's all I can tell you.
Right.
Throw it out there to a big saltwater carp.
A big giant carp, like a barn door. It's like pulling on the side of a barn door. I kind of like red drum a little bit better. You could call me a fish snob. I think the red drum is a nicer looking game fish. But whatever. The black drum are...
But once you catch one, man, I mean, you caught one, and that's cool. So,
So they should be coming. It won't last long. And you'll see the boats tightly bunched together because these black drum are on the bottom in these really tight schools.
Have you ever heard of... Their namesake, drum, have you ever heard them?
Yes. Yeah. The croaker is actually in the drum family,
sure.
So they'll make, I've been in a boat with about, 20 or 30 croaker in the cooler.
I'll tell you what.
They're going.
They go from here through C&D Canal, and they go into Delaware Bay to spawn. Okay. Been on Delaware Bay at night fishing for trout.
Right.
And you become, and just, the captain will say, hey, everybody get quiet, listen. And you get quiet, and you can feel them. Drum, boom, boom. You can feel them and hear them through the hull of the boat.
Yeah,
it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I've never been on around a big school of them like in Delaware Bay. I've fished for them in the lower Chesapeake.
Yeah.
I've never actually caught one, but I haven't put in a lot of hours. But I have been with Butch Webb back when we used to black drum.
Sure.
And we've been on a pound net with six or eight black drum weighing anywhere from 50 to 90 pounds in a pound net.
We've
handled them. It takes two guys to hold them down and one guy to tag them. It's like a three-man operation.
Yep.
And then we would release them. So,
we went through Cape Charles.
Yeah.
We went through Cape Charles last week when we went to South Carolina, and the sign's still there, Black Drum Capital of the World. I don't know if they still catch them down there like they used to, but, that used to be a destination for sure.
Yeah, I think they actually still do catch them down there by Latimer Shoals and off Kipta Peak and down to the Bay Bridge Tunnel, along with some red drum and some cobia, which eventually worked their way up. But
no cobia this year.
Not this year, because of the... Well, are we talking about the closure?
Yeah, we're talking about the closure.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, this is a tough one. Well, it's basically because of the data showed that they were overfished last year, is my understanding.
In Maryland? Or nationwide, on the Atlantic State.
Along the Mid-Atlantic region.
Of course. Yeah. Okay.
So it's going to be tough for the Virginia charter boats and some of our Southern Maryland charter boats from Solomon's and other areas that moved their boats down there for a few months for the cobia fishing, which has become a big thing, big business the last few years. It's brutal. So, I don't know. It's really tough right now. I'm hoping that we kind of can maybe work back to a regular season next year.
Yeah, we fished target ships last year in hopes of hooking up with one, anything. And beautiful, beautiful, bright, sunny day, and had all the right baits. We had the live eels. We had, everything. Nothing. Caught a couple small bottom fish, black sea bass and that type of thing. But it just didn't work out. But I'd love to hook up with a big cobia down there again. So
anyway, so
the cobia are closed in the lower bay.
Correct.
In all Chesapeake Bay, of course.
Right. So, okay. There was some talk of, I would check with the, if you're going to Virginia and fishing Virginia, check with the VMRC website, because there was some talk about trying to have a very brief limited season.
Okay.
But I don't know how it ended up. But,
I got you.
But the last I heard is it was still closed. Yeah.
Well, we got from post-spawn rockfish to black drum to cobia here pretty quick, Eric.
Right, I know.
And that's okay, but, it's okay. we're fishermen. We want to get out there and catch whatever's out there. But what caught my attention was when you said there's some croakers starting to show up in the pound nets, I guess. Huh?
Right, so there's croakers starting to show up. Very classic situation is that they're reported in some of the pound nets down in the mouth of the Potomac River, around Point Lookout and Cornfield Harbor.
Always.
And Cornfield Harbor is just inside the point, just inside the river. So they'll start showing up around there. And typically, small boat fishermen down there around Point Lookout or shore fishermen around the point and in the lower Potomac River will get the first run of croaker. And they're starting to they're being caught down there, and they're kind of slowly working their way up the bay.
How do they do on the Point Lookout fishing pier down there with the croaker?
I'm just hearing that it's okay, but it's not gangbusters.
Not gangbusters.
It's not really on fire yet.
But in general, is that a good spot? That pier down there for the causeway?
Yeah, the pier and the causeway have been a traditional shore fishing area for years. If you're fishing the causeway, though, you got to bring real surf casting gear.
Mm-hmm.
You got to bring like a 10 to 12 foot traditional surf fishing rod, and it helps to get your bait way out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're fishing off the pier, you can use a more traditional, a shorter spinning rod or a bait casting rod, and you don't necessarily have to, do a really long cast. The fish will be closer to the pier. So it depends on what kind of gear you have. They also catch big rockfish down there off the causeway on cut bait with surf casting tackle.
Then an evening bite.
It tends to be an early morning thing or a late afternoon evening bite. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
got it.
That tends to be the best time.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Let me switch gears here on you again. Choptank River Fishing Pier, since that's close to a lot of people on the Eastern Shore. What are you hearing on that? Anything right now?
That's a good question. Right now, I think it's mainly white perch.
Okay.
There's been good reports of white perch in the mid-bay on the both Eastern and Western Shore.
Right.
They're kind of getting into that early summer pattern where you can fish vertically with soft crab or grass shrimp.
Right.
Close to the pilings, like on the chop tank. They like the structure on the chop tank pier is one good example. Happening.
But you've got reefs out there within a cast.
Right. So we got reef balls placed on the tips of both piers, and they're between the pier and the Route 50 bridge, so sandwiched in between the pier and the Route 50 highway bridge. It's about a 300-foot section of reef on the Cambridge side and a 500-foot section of reef over on the Talbot County side.
So you go to the end
of the tip. Go to the end
of the piers.
Yep.
And cast towards Route 50.
And cast towards Route 50.
And that's where your structure is.
Yep. And you can walk from there. 300 feet in towards Cambridge and beyond reef balls. They're all laid throughout there.
Okay.
Anywhere from your feet out 50 feet.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're laid out in straight rows with spaces in between them.
Uh-huh.
So you can kind of feel the bottom and kind of get a feel for laying your baits alongside or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So
and then what day of the month do you go down and dive and retrieve all the bottom rigs and
Well, yeah, that could be any time of the year when the visibility is more, you know.
That could be a cottage industry.
Yeah, I know. Whenever the visibility is good, yeah.
All right, Eric, let's take our first break. Hang on there a minute. I want to tell the folks about Clyde Sports. If they want to go to the Chop Tank, Bill Burton Fishing Pier, or Southern Maryland, or Mattapeak, or any of the fishing spots around Baltimore, Clyde Sports Shop is your headquarters for the best fishing gear you can find. If you want to go crabbing, they got all the crabbing tackle too. They got the open top pots. They got the traps. They got the rings. They've got the trot lines. You name it, Clyde's has it for crabbing. They've got bait for fishing. They got bait for crabbing. And they even got that updated fishing report once a week. It's called the 24-hour fishing hotline at Clyde's, and that phone number is 410-247-3474. 247-FISH is an easy way to remember that. And, you know, for any of this jig fishing that Eric's talking about, any of the perch fishing with the grass shrimp and the crab baits and the minnows, you name it, Clyde's has it. For live and frozen bait, they've got all the tackle you could need, want, or imagine as well. That's Clyde Sports Shop at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop, and we will be right back after these messages. Time to book your dove hunt with Upper Bay Gun Club. Hunt over sunflowers on great farms loaded with doves. Dove Hunt runs $150 per person and includes lunch. Hurry, the early dates are filling up fast and space is limited. Hunt deer, waterfowl, and turkeys on private farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership like I did, or call about guided day hunts or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience and can answer all your questions. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for the best hunting of your life. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for Upper Bay Gun Club. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Start your day with Sean and Frank. Maryland's Wake Up Call. Weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Okay, we're back with Eric Zlukovich from Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service on this pre-recorded show. I don't know if I mentioned this show was pre-recorded or not. We won't be taking any calls today. I'm actually in Deep Creek Lake at a wedding this weekend, and I know I very rarely take a break, and here we took two in 3 weeks. So that's not particularly what I do on Saturdays, but of necessity we did it, so it's okay. Eric, let's see. We talked about some fishing opportunities on the piers. We talked about the post-spawn rockfish. We got the potential of some croakers coming up the bay. But let's talk a little bit about fishing licenses. There was a lot of talk during the General Assembly about fee reductions and things like that, and that press release is out on the street now. It wasn't really that impactful on fishermen, but there were a couple changes to the fishing licenses for 2016. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, right. Well, I just wanted to mention that we do have a promotion going on for 16-year-olds. We're calling it 16 and 16. So if you're 16 at the time of the purchase of your license, you get a 50% reduction, 50% off on your fishing license.
And my grandson falls right in there.
There you go.
He just turned 16 last November, so first year he has to buy a license. This year he gets it for half price, and he loves to fish. I mean, He lives right on one of the creeks off the bay, and he fishes. He access to fishing off his neighbor's pier. He has his own kayak, of course. Any day he wants to go, and he focuses on carp. He loves catching those big,
giant carp. Yeah.
So Jacob, I know he's already gotten his license, and he got it for half price, so I was very tickled to do that.
That's great. Yeah, this is the first year that a person has to buy a license when they turn 16.
Yep.
So that kind of helps them get into the fishery and, have a little break on the cost of the license. And I think it's good for the parents. It helps the family.
Sure.
If you have a 16-year-old and you're getting ready to go out, summer fishing, and you're getting your boat ready, your kid, the first time he needs a license, it's half off. So
that's a good deal.
And the other thing I wanted to remind people is these licenses are now 365 days. So
from the date that
you purchase the license.
Right.
So they're not going to expire. So let's say you're buying one in early June. It's not going to expire on New Year's Eve like it used to.
Right, right.
It's going to go all the way until June of the following year.
Right.
So it'll take you, all the way through to the following year, which is excellent. I think that's also a good thing. And I don't know. I appreciate it myself when I buy my fishing license.
Oh, yeah. Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
So that's definitely helpful. And
so if you buy it today, June 4th, I believe is the date today, it's good till next June 4th.
Right, correct. It's good through June 4th, so it actually would cover you through Memorial Day weekend of next year.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So, there's the hardcore fishermen have already bought their licenses like back in March, because they've been trout fishing or
Absolutely. They've
been fishing catch and release striped bass, rockfish. But a lot of folks are buying their licenses right now because the real peak of the boating and fishing season is just starting to happen right now.
Exactly.
So that's why I wanted to mention the license discount and a 365 day. So
is today a free fishing day?
June 4th and June 11th, I believe.
Okay.
And then I think July 4th.
4th of July, sure.
I think those are the three.
Yep.
Do a search. Just go to Maryland Fishery Service Free Fishing Day.
Yep.
Plug that in, and they should pop up. Also, we have a few free fishing areas
scattered
in various counties around the bay and a couple of free fishing areas down in Ocean City.
Yep.
Shore fishing spots. So you can do a search for that on the website and a list of free.
It's always the first two Saturdays in June and then the 4th of July.
Right,
So today, June 4th, and then June 11th, next Saturday, you can go fishing with your family and nobody needs a fishing license.
That's exactly right. Nobody needs a license,
I mean, they already nailed you if you wanted to go fishing on Memorial Day weekend. But that's
yeah.
You guys are pretty smart.
I know.
But that's okay. Look, for the fishing opportunities that we have here in Maryland, whatever you pay for a license is cheap, man.
Right.
It's absolutely cheap.
You
know, we were in South Carolina. We went on a river tour. Okay.
Right.
A two-hour tour, okay, of the Waccamaw River system and the intercoastal waterways and all that, hoping to see alligators and ospreys and all that stuff. We saw a few snakes and a bunch of ospreys. It was high tide. There were a lot of boat traffic, so the gators were kind of down, but that's okay. But that tour for two of us cost us more than it would cost for two fishing licenses.
Wow.
For a year in Maryland.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just the way it is.
Well, have you heard about some of the license prices? Like in Alaska, if you're doing a summer fishing trip to Alaska, I don't know, I think they're up over $100 possibly.
Really?
For a non-resident.
A non-resident, yeah.
And resident licenses are also very expensive. I've looked at the surrounding states, and we're about the same.
Sure.
A little less, a little more, it varies than all the surrounding states except for Delaware. Delaware has a very cheap license,
right,
which covers all their waters, title and non-title.
Right.
But every other state is very similar to us in West Virginia, Virginia, Pennsylvania,
North Carolina. Not a lot of coastline in West Virginia, Pennsylvania.
Right, and those states have only fresh water.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
So I really think our licenses are reasonable and very comparable to the surrounding area.
Sure. Yeah, people are still nervous about, I hear this every year, they won't give their Social Security number when they get their license. And, you know, people are very protective of the Social Security number, and
right.
I understand it. You do it one time and it disappears. And
right.
And it registers you for that saltwater registry that was so, you
right.
know, up in the air a long time ago. And,
right.
You know, it's just our society. It's the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, not that it's good, not that it's horrible, but nobody in the state is keeping a permanent record of your Social Security number, I don't think. Maybe they might.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's – I mean, we use secure, you know
– servers and all.
Servers and
sure.
all of that stuff. And,
you
know, like I actually have been buying my license online. I used to stop by – yeah, I used to stop by the bait shop. You know, like drive, you know, Route 50s on Anglers. They've
sure.
been there since the 50s or the 60s.
Sure.
Anglers on Route 50.
Yeah, Clydes will be
there.
Clydes
or Clydes.
Been
and
there
I would,
60 years.
I would pull in and I'd just get my license. Sometimes they have to charge a $1 service fee for a credit card. That's not too – I don't care. That's not too big of a deal. But now, over the last few years, I've been doing it online through the Compass system. I know a lot of people have trouble with it, but honestly, I'm not a real computer guru. And after the first time when I got registered, I haven't had any problems since then. You have to register. So, I mean, you know, and I think if I recall correctly, they might ask for your driver's license information, but other states do it too. I visited family in New York. I got a 1-day freshwater license. I had to give my driver.
And hunted in those states. They all ask you the same thing. Sure.
Again, I think we're kind of like in the same boat as everybody else.
We are.
Yeah.
We absolutely are. When we do anything online, I mean, they got to know who you are, and that's that type of thing. And I understand it. I don't have to like it.
Right.
I'm a dinosaur. I don't have to like it.
Yeah.
But I understand it, and you know, it's
right.
You know, if somebody wants to find you, they're going to find you. Especially,
right.
you know, if you have a job or, you know, you own a car, you have a fishing license, you have a hunt license, somebody's going to be able to track you down. It doesn't
exactly.
really matter. So.
That's right.
But, I mean, your information's already out there unless you're off the grid. You're out there in somewhere on a mountain, you know, on a generator and solar power and wind power. They're going to find you. That's all there is to it.
Right. It's the 21st century.
Exactly. Exactly right. So, but, you know, a lot of people are nervous about it and understand it. So. And
yeah,
I'm not making
sure.
fun of it. I'm not making fun
yeah.
of it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a proponent of it, but
right.
it just happens that way. So anyway. All right. So we covered the license fees, 16 and 16, half price licenses and the 365-day license and the Compass system and, you know, getting online and that type of thing. But let's kind of get back to the fishing report here a little bit. Every day I'm still getting the trout stocking schedule. They're still putting
right.
trout out there, and I guess they'll continue to do so until the water gets absolutely too warm to do it, and
right.
then back again in the fall.
So I checked with Marshall, the hatchery manager out in Hagerstown at our big hatchery out
yeah.
there,
mm-hmm.
and the last stocking is June 1st.
Oh, well, so we're already past
so
it.
We're, yeah.
We passed it 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the water temps start to get a little too warm as you get into – you know, June, mid-June, and you get into some low oxygen and warm water, and fish get stressed out. So yeah, June 1st is about the cutoff. And
okay.
I'm hearing from the hatchery that'll be the last day unless it gets delayed due to weather or heavy rain.
Right, June 1st. Okay.
Yeah. But it's been continuous. You've been seeing the reports in.
Yeah, of course.
It's been continuous since like February 15th.
I know. It's crazy. Crazy. A lot of trout out there.
Yeah. We posted anywhere from Garrett County to the Eastern Shore. We posted daily on two Facebook pages, Maryland Facebook, Maryland Fishing Facebook, which is the fun recreational fishing page, and then our official page, Maryland DNR Fisheries Facebook. And it's on the website, daily updates. Number of fish, stock, type of fish, rainbow, brown, or golden.
Right, right.
County, lake, stream, et cetera. So it's been a continuous reporting on that since February.
Yeah, and you just have to wonder about the participation when you get into June as far as the fishing is concerned.
Right.
Because, you know, we've been doing this since the end of March. All of April, all of May. Now we're into June. I mean, you know, okay, let's go fish for something else maybe. It's bass season, you know,
right.
that type of thing. So we're going to focus on something else. But it's okay.
Right.
So you like to eat fish, personally?
I do. I do like to eat fish. It's kind of funny. I think but my taste changed a little bit. When I was a little kid, I liked mild fish like flounder, you know, and I don't know, just your white meat. Fish
walleye
and yeah well there you go walleye
I'll eat walleye but, anytime anyway. Yeah,
but now I like a gamier fish. I loved, like, tuna is my favorite, but I don't have access to it all the
right
time.
Sure
and I you know or I love bluefish. They're underrated. They're the best fish on the bay when they're smoked. I think smoked
I agree.
Bluefish you know, they're probably my favorite, I would say, locally. I eat everything. I do. I pan fry white perch. I catch white perch with my son off the dock, and we pan fry them. You know,
Rob and I were at Harris's on the Eastern Shore.
Yeah,
and they had a white perch offering.
Yeah,
four white perch for like $14.
Right.
And sides. I said, I'll try it.
Yeah.
Well, you got four white perch. Whole fish, other than the head. They took the head off of it. They were cleaned. They were scaled. They were battered and deep fried, and they were spectacular. You had to pick the bone.
Right.
You know, you had to pick the flesh off the bones.
Yeah.
But having done that all my life with freshwater trout and other fish, you know, it was pretty easy to do. And, of course, white perch have that distinctive flavor. They're very, very good.
They're delicious.
Yeah.
I would say I really like eating rockfish. I like them, the smaller ones, so let's say 20 to 23 inches.
And sure.
Marinate them and kind of season them up a little bit because they're so mild. I think they need a little bit more flavor sometimes, but they're excellent eating.
Yeah.
The key for me is fresh. There's such a huge difference between fresh and frozen.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, it's just night and day. Yeah.
You know,
so the fresh fish is so much better.
I tell the listeners this all the time, and I'll tell you, I don't know if we've shared this before or not, but my favorite deal, and I get emails about this, is rockfish fillets.
Right.
Slathered on both sides with Dijonnaise, which is a combination of Dijon mustard mayonnaise, and you can make it if you can't find it. And
right.
It is still available, from one of my listeners told me that. You just take that and you just rub that rockfish fillet with that under the broiler. Boom, and it forms a little crust, but it also preserves the flavor of the fish. It's spectacular for rockfish.
Yeah. That's awesome. So. Yeah, that's great. Or marinating, Italian salad dressing is a good marinade
for a lot of different types
of fish.
Love that too.
That's a classic one, and it's easy to pick up in the supermarket. So,
sure.
And yeah, there's a lot of the market now has all kinds of marinades out there.
You take white wine, lemon juice, and butter. In a saute pan, stir in some seafood seasoning if you want, or just salt and pepper, and you saute your fish. And you know, I love it that way too. And then you let that reduce down a little bit. You don't put much in. You know, let it reduce down a little bit, and it forms that nice crust on that fish. It's my mouth is watering right now. Indeed.
Yeah.
Let's talk about eating fish all day. We won't even get into crabs and other seafood. So, all right. Well, we're coming up on a little break here, so when we come back, we'll wrap up a little bit, and I'll talk during the break on what we want to talk about next. How's that sound?
All right, sounds
all right,
good.
Great.
Yeah.
And folks, we will be right back after these messages. Hey, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. Hey, Maryland's Upper Eastern Shore has a rich tradition for dove and waterfowl, deer and turkey hunting, and now you can hunt over a dozen Upper Shore farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership, like I did, and hunt all season long, or call about guided day hunts with Upper Bay Gun Club, or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience and can answer all your questions. Give Tom a call at 443-309-3788 for the best hunting of your life. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for Upper Bay Gun Club. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto. Okay, we're back with Eric Zlokovich, and before we continue, I want to tell the folks one more time this hour about Clyde Sports Shop. I guess I should have ended the last segment with that, but we got a little bit long on a pre-recorded show. You got to play the numbers. So Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, and we told you about all the great fishing and hunting and fishing and crabbing supplies that they have, and the bait and the tackle and all that, but I want to talk a little bit about some of the firearms, too. They're your first, they're a full-line Browning dealer, number one, and they carry all the Browning firearms from the long guns to the handguns, the shotguns, the rifles, and no four-wheel drive. But a country boy can survive. So, sorry. So I want to tell you particularly about the shooting sports stuff. They have all the best in the eyewear and the hearing protection and that type of thing. They've got the shot for reloading, but they carry that Satori 725 Sporting Clays model over and under. Great gun for shotgun sports, as is the BT-99 trap gun as well. So if you're into the shooting sports, stop by Clyde Sports Shop. Check out their full selection of the Browning firearms, and they carry Browning ammo now, and they're very, very heavy in .22 ammo, which has been hard to find. So go in and check out the .22 ammo from Browning and the great firearms from Browning as well. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop. Now back, Eric. Okay, let's talk a little bit about crabbing since we mentioned it there.
Sure.
What are you hearing?
Well, yeah, just yesterday I got my first good crabbing report of the year, actually. There's
good.
Some very good crabbing, recreational crabbing, for the guy in the John boat.
Okay.
Down in the Lower Eastern Shore in Dorchester and Somerset County area.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I'm hoping that it starts moving up the bay into Talbot and then, you know, even further on both shores. But
how's the water temperatures get a little better?
Exactly. Yeah. Our water temperature has been kind of fluctuating. It kind of crept up into the low 60s and then kind of maybe dipped down a little bit during all the rain, and now it's starting to climb back up again.
That's
so,
a good thing.
Yeah, so they're catching them mainly on trot lines, you know, the, the small boats, small skiffs, and John boats.
Yep.
Mostly small boats, not so much from the docks, but the trot lining and also collapsible traps have been very good down there for the for your recreational crabbers. And that's exciting. I'm kind of hoping that carries over into other parts of the bay.
Sure. Well, we mentioned some of those. We mentioned some of those piers and docks and things like that for the crabbing. And I mean, you know, you got Fishing Bay. You got that's you know Lower Dorchester County. You've got some public access there. You've got private docks are always good. You know, and so you know, you get into some of those areas where it's a little shallower, a little warmer. Maybe those crabs are going to start moving a little bit. Of course, we just came through full moon too. So, So we've got the soft crab process coming on here. And, you know, it's going to be good. It's just getting started. It's early on the summer, and we're going to have some good crab feasts. So.
Right. And I just wanted to remind people for private docks.
Yes, sir.
You have to, you're allowed two crab pots, and they have to be registered. It's free.
It's right.
This is kind of a funky thing that maybe some people aren't aware of, but you can use dip lines, dip nets, all of that stuff, no trouble. But if you,
put
you
one
do
of those
use
big
crab pots,
3x3 pots,
you have to register them, and you can register them for free online on the Compass system.
Mm-hmm.
That's for a private property, or if you're the official renter of the property too.
Right.
That just wanted to mention that.
And that's, that's just, and it's not to keep track of you, but it is to kind of work that formula to figure out what the recreational crab harvest is, which is.
We don't know.
How do you know?
It's been such a mystery for many years.
No, it's always been.
What our recreational harvest is, So we're just trying to get a little bit of a handle on it,
Yeah.
You know, the crabbing report this winter was pretty good. If you saw the press release from the winter dredge survey, and I go on that. I don't have any magic eight ball or anything.
Right.
I kind of go on the winter crab survey results. So it was, that was promising. So we hope it carries over through the summer and fall.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
I hope so too. And of course, the crab prices have been pretty good this year.
Right.
You know, early on they were very good because the pickers hadn't shown up at the picking houses. So that all those crabs, we're going on the open market and flooding the market, and we talked about earlier a couple shows supply and demand. There was a lot of supply, not a tremendous demand yet. But Mother's Day got here, no crabs.
Exactly.
We'll likely have the same. You know, I mean,
Memorial Day is always tough.
I don't know about Memorial Day. We're recording this before Memorial Day. So, but I will tell this to our listeners: if you have pictures of you crabbing with a crab, holding up a crab, eating a crab, it's a good time to send your crab related pictures to Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com for consideration in the Maryland Loves Crabs magazine coming out here hopefully by the end of June. So we look forward to getting some of those crab-eating and crab-catching pictures from our listeners. Ellis at Ellis Outdoors is where you email those pictures. And the department's very helpful in that. We're going to be talking about the bycatch reduction devices in the Crab magazine, that, you know, as far as the the
for
Maryland,
terrapins.
Maryland
or
terrapins.
Turtles.
Yeah, Maryland terrapins and the whole deal. So it's all good.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, look, while we're talking about summer recreation, of course, the big vacation spot is Ocean City.
Right.
A lot of fishing opportunities down there. People don't realize it.
Right.
Fill us in a little bit.
Right. Well, it's actually been a very good late spring, early summer season down there in Ocean City. So right now, they are catching large striped bass in the surf down by Assateague and along Ocean City. Because the rockfish or striped bass are still migrating up the coast. A hot bait this year has been sand fleas. They're using sand fleas for these rockfish because they're kind of rooting around, I guess, in the shallows.
Really?
And they surf for the sand fleas. Also, you know, usually the hot bait is like fresh menhaden, a head of a menhaden because it's a tough bait, or spot.
Right.
A spot head. Those still work, but sand fleas have been very effective this year. And I've been hearing it all from the whole coastal area down around Delmarva. I don't know.
It's maybe just, there's a maybe
it's
there's
the hot bait this year.
Maybe there's a great influx of sand fleas this year. Hey,
sand fleas
are fun for the kids to catch.
Oh yeah,
I mean, you just go in there and you start digging in the sand. Those little crustaceans go crawling around everywhere. Just get yourself a nice cup and
right.
and a cooler and put them in there and use it for bait. They're great bait. They're great bait for on the rocks and the piers too. I mean, you know, you're fishing pilings or you go up there to the inlet and you're fishing on the rocks and stuff. They're great for tog and black sea bass and everything else.
Definitely.
So
they've also been catching some big bluefish in the surf on mullet. That's
really?
The classic bait. The 10 to 12 pound, the racers.
Yeah.
You know, big chopper bluefish, big head, skinny body.
When are they coming
early
in?
Early season. Well, they're almost gone. They've been around.
When are they coming in the bay?
I still have some old fishing in Maryland's from 1979 through 1986 when they were catching so many citation sized bluefish, they had to keep increasing
That's
the size.
Right. Yep.
And you got guys catching 18 pound bluefish off Hackett's Bar off Annapolis now, in May and June.
Yep.
And I actually was going to bring one in today because I like looking through those old magazines.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. You know, we haven't had the big bluefish in the bay since about 88 or 89, I think. They kind of just stopped showing up. I think it's a combination of things. Part of it, you know, a lot of people are saying it's the menhaden.
Right.
And not enough menhaden to draw them into the bay. I think that's part of it, but I kind of wonder if there's other changes in ocean currents, changes in water quality.
Very possible.
And they're kind of bypassing us, and they're running up Delmarva instead.
That's very possible. I mean, people don't understand the migratory nature of these fish. These fish actually start their migration off the coast of Africa.
Right.
And come across the Atlantic, and then they go up the coastline, you know.
Right.
So, but there's like catching those big blues.
Oh, man.
I mean, for recreational fun and fantastic action, I mean, they pull hard.
Right.
You know, the big giant ones don't taste that great, but,
right.
you know, those 5 to 10 pounders, you know, you grill them or you can take a bluefish. Make sure you cut that lateral line, that dark meat out of there.
Right.
You can take that bluefish and you can chunk it and bread it and deep fry it, and it's every bit as good as it is smoked.
That's awesome. I need to try that.
Now you need to try that.
Yeah,
I mean, you get some of those smaller ones, you can do that same thing. You can
deep
fry them too, and they're excellent deep fried.
Yeah, and a big bluefish hitting a topwater plug is like probably the most exciting thing. I mean, the way they hit a topwater lure is amazing.
And, it is.
I miss that. But look, they are catching some down in Ocean City on the mullet and cut bait. Tautog fishing is winding down now, and it's sea bass is in full swing. So they're catching sea bass on the wrecks and reefs. I believe it's 12.5-inch limit, 25 fish bag.
Okay.
Check with the – if you're on a party boat, the captain and the mate know the regs.
Right.
Check with your local tackle shop. Just make sure.
I never –
yeah.
This is secret code.
Yeah.
I've never gotten an email from the captain.
Oh, man.
No, I'm serious. Well
– A certain captain both know.
A certain captain that we both know signed up for his email.
Well-known
mutual acquaintance has actually attempted to get me on the email list. Never gotten one.
Certain colorful local party boat captain.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
That's
well,
the guy.
I don't know. It's okay. Well, we'll try to work on that.
You work on that. Get me on the email list. Anyway.
It's on. And flounder are showing up in the coastal bays, and we'll be showing up on the offshore wrecks and reefs.
Sure.
You tend to get the bigger ones on the offshore spots.
Yep.
So that's all developing right now. Smaller bluefish, the tailor bluefish, are running in and out of the inlet at Ocean City.
Are they swimming in and out or actually running?
They're swimming.
Okay.
They're swimming.
I'm sorry to trip you up on that.
They're swimming in and out of the inlet, so it's hit or miss. They're also catching them at the Route 50 bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a steady spot for the last few years with guys fishing gotcha plugs, bucktails, jigging overnight under the lights, combination of small bluefish, rockfish, weak fish or sea trout, a mix of the those fish, some hickory shad that tend to run through there.
You got me scratching my head.
Yeah.
Okay.
Down in salt water, they get them on little spec rigs or sabiki rigs.
Sure. Yeah.
you know, or on shad darts. It's just a little hard to work a shad dart in a strong, really strong current.
It is
down
very
there.
Strong, yeah.
But they do catch them. They run through there, and they catch a few at Indian River Inlet. I've seen it myself.
Wow.
I think they're outgoing hickories, yeah. leaving Delaware and Chesapeake Bay, and they run through some of these coastal areas. So, mm-hmm.
Robin actually showed me earlier this year how to catch hickory shad.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what Dale, Uncle Dale Weinrich showed me, it didn't matter that day.
No. Really?
Mm-mm. 4-1.
Well, in addition to the darts, see, single darts or double darts, they like a small chartreuse grub, a small Mr. Twister grub,
mm-hmm.
and if you're stream fishing, maybe 16th ounce up to heavier, slightly heavier weights.
I start
real light. And I work my way up.
I know.
They like that. Yeah. And spoons. They like silvery stuff.
Them,
saltwater. Yeah. Saltwatery guys.
On one day, I didn't know how to catch them.
Really? You got to be sometimes right in that right spot where they're running through, swimming through.
I know.
Yeah. You know what's going on. Yeah.
All right.
But no, the saltwater, talk to your contacts down in Maryland and along Delmarva, Delaware. They do get these hickory shad runs.
And if
the bluefish aren't running, and the stripers aren't there, they downsize. They drop down to these spec rigs,
just for a little change of pace, recreational action.
Yeah.
If I'm going to a city, I'm trying to catch something to eat.
Right.
Yeah.
I hear you.
You know, I want a legal flounder. What's the size limit on flounder this year? Do you know?
16 inches. Yep. I believe it's a 4-fish bag.
Okay.
I think it's posted on our.
We'll check it out.
Yeah. It's on our press releases and public notices
section
on the website. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got the flounder inshore. We've got the sea trout, the bluefish, and some of the flounder off Route 50 bridge at night. I guess you can catch them in the day. It depends on the tide.
Correct.
And
exactly.
You've got bigger bluefish in the surf. You've got bigger striped bass in the surf at Assateague.
Correct.
And then the offshore headboats on the wrecks are – the tautog fishing is winding down. But the blackfish, black sea bass is coming up. And what was the limit on the black sea bass again?
I believe it's 25 fish bag limit, 12.5 inches.
Yeah. Another tasty fish, by the way.
Right. Yeah.
Very nice.
And follow those regulations, because a certain party boat captain that we talked about does not let his customers go over that limit.
I know, and I would hope he didn't. But we got to know
people.
What's going on. So, you know.
Yeah, right.
Don't brag about your email list if you don't put the radio guy on it. All right, Eric, look, we got to wrap it up. I enjoyed our conversation, as always. A great deal of information for the folks to get ready to kick off summer on June 4th, June 11th, July 4th, and Free Fishing Day. Well, thank you for being here.
Thanks a lot. Good seeing you, Alan.
All right. Folks, it's time for me to say get out, stay out, stay safe.